With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This Belmont Stakes Picks edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with zero interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Hey, everybody. Joe Theismann here. You're listening to SGPN. So do this. Let it ride.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, second the Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
Just want to let everyone know I'm canceling my orange air color material on account that it didn't go over well in the pre-production meeting with Malcolm or Chase. So
Ryan was throwing out some air quality jokes there. Shout out to my dad who sent me first off.
Funny.
It's just classic old man. My dad still wants to golf regardless of the East Coast having horrific air quality. My mom,
it's short season over there, you know.
My dad texted me yesterday. We got up to 440, which is some air quality index, worst in the nation. And then he follows it up with a text, I shot a 41 on the front nine. Just completely unfazed, doesn't care. No. Ryan, we care about giving out winners. I love doing these horse racing episodes. We got Malcolm and the Wolf of Oakland waiting in the wings. Before we do that, though, I stumbled upon this a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, I got to save this for the Belmont Stakes podcast.
Oh, do you have an air quality?
Air quality material, but a real Men of Degens Belmont edition.
SGPN presents Real Men of Degens.
Real Men of Degens.
We salute you,
Frank Hayes. That's right. 100 years ago on June 4th, 1923, jockey Frank Hayes suffered a lethal heart attack in a Belmont Park race. Despite being dead, he remained in the saddle as his mount crossed the finish line to win by a head, thus becoming the first and only jockey to have won a race after he died. So we salute you, Frank Hayes, truly a real Men of Degens.
Hopefully the mob or whoever owned the horse brought some cash to the funeral.
Yeah, classy. Do they still like photograph the horse? They still take him to the winner's circle? That must have been an insane event.
At least the horse didn't die.
No, the horse.
We're having
did not
this
die.
Debate. Who is more important, or who will be cared for more? The players that are being the players being forced to play in New York City, baseball players, or the horses that will be forced to run at Belmont?
Well, there was
more likely to be canceled.
There was some discussion in the back office there because we were worried. Oh, hey, maybe they're not going to do the Belmont because the air quality is so bad. And then I pointed out to Ryan, I'm like, hey, the Yankees are playing. They're out there, and Ryan.
Only Aaron Judge is more valuable than. A horse running in the Belmont.
We were trying to figure out what Aaron Judge's stud fee.
Get Malcolm on and rank the value of the horses and the players on the Yankees.
Where their stud fees figure out. All right, enough messing around. Of course, shout out to Edge Boost. Double your bet with 0% interest when you use Edge Boost. Again, like maybe you got a nice angle on a horse. We're going to talk about some. You can always get those futures bets, which is a great way. You don't have to tie up all your money. You can use the Edge Boost. boost. Let's say you want to put $200 down on a horse. You only got 100 right now. Edge Boost will spot you the other 100, and you just pay them back in $25 a week for four equal weekly installments. Zero interest. It's the first ever bet now, pay later Visa card. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Joining us from across the pond, you know him from the Premier League Gambling Podcast and the MLB Gambling Podcast, Mr. Malcolm Bamford. What's up, Malcolm?
Good evening, gents. How are you doing? Yes, fine. Nothing much to report. Got the Champions League final tomorrow night, which is exciting. So the Belmont Stakes and the Champions League final. So yeah, a big weekend of sport coming up for me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, do you have a have you given out your play yet for the Champions League?
I have, yes. Would you like me to direct people to the podcast, or am I allowed to whisper it quietly here?
Well, you know what? Yeah, why don't we, Ryan, what's the best way to reveal it? I guess, yeah, make sure you subscribe to the Premier League Gambling Podcast.
Well, I want to know. So how about you check out Malcolm on the show, but then Malcolm also can tell us who he likes in the Champions League final.
I tell you, what we'll see is the 9-1 underdog is at the end of the show. Mm. I will give you my lock here.
Oh, nice.
Minus
good.
120. So it's not going to make you rich, but a lock's a lock. The lock is under 10 corners. Get in. What about that? That's a proper degen bet.
Yes.
The game script, Manchester City keep the ball into Milan. It'll just be a typical Italian team. No intention of attacking or scoring a goal. They'll sit there. They'll let Man City have the ball. So it's going to be a slow burner. Manchester City will play in front of them. No corners. You can go down the ladder as well. I've said under 10. If you want to go down the ladder, go down the ladder. Plus 150 under 9, plus 250 under 8. All the way down to 9-1 under 6. So yeah, start at 10 and head down into the basement. That's where we're going.
Saying someone should go down the ladder sounds diabolical, and I was surprised Sean didn't perk up there when he heard you slandering the Italians.
Oh, well,
that's
one
of Sean's favorite pastimes. Or is it just Italian Americans?
It's Italian Americans. They're the legit Italians. They're fine. It's something's lost in when they come over the Atlantic. It just doesn't translate.
That's all the olive oil in the sea right now. It's, they get greased up and then they show up
slippery,
on the shores.
Slippery. Fellow horse racing expert, you know him from the notorious OTB podcast, our horse racing podcast on the SGPN network, the Wolf of Oaklawn. What's happening, Wolf?
And not a lot. I'm glad that the cloud from Ghostbusters 2 has left the New York area and that we're able to run horses. I didn't know what I was going to do with myself, except for maybe just like weep openly if they had to push this thing.
Oh man, that would have been.
Well, and the East Coast was like collectively learning how that in a lot of cases, they just kind of let the fire burn. Because there's no one living there, and it's just normal to let the
just
fire.
Part of
what
nature.
Do you mean you're not going to stop at the Belmonts this weekend?
Yeah, we got to get to the Belmont.
How unfair! Don't take this from me.
Please, no. Yeah, here talking Belmont. Lot to get to. And obviously we're taping this live on a Friday. YouTube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. Make sure you smash that subscribe button. Get in here. And we're going to be talking about some Saturday races, 13 races on Saturday, starting off with race 9, 6 furlongs, $400,000 up for grabs. It's the grade 1 Jiper Stakes.
Oh.
How do you pronounce it, Ryan?
That's what I would have said.
Jiper.
You got it.
Wolf.
You got
Wolf, it. Give like me I'm the official pronunciation.
The Jiper.
I would Jiper. Go with Jaipur.
Jaipur. I like
it's a town in India, I think. We have a beer named after it over an Indian pale ale. I quite enjoy a pint of Jaipur from time to time.
Jaipur.
They colonized India, so I believe them.
Yeah.
Pour me a
Jaipur. All right. Wolf, we'll let you get started here. What are we thinking for race 9? It seems like you're, I see in your notes here, you're thinking this could be a little bit of a chaotic race.
Yeah, it's a very full field. You're talking 14 horses in this short 6 furlong sprint. I could easily see a horse winning at massive odds here. I went with something a little bit more conservative, but I'm going to use some horses with massive odds around it to try to put it in an exacta that hits fairly well. But I was drawn to the 8 Arrest Me Red here at 6-1, trained by Wesley Ward, one that Mal knows well because he runs a lot of horses at Royal Ascot as well as here in America. Due for a breakthrough after not winning a race since about May of last year, finished 2nd by a neck, I believe, or a half length in this race last year. I think that this horse is going to get a great pace setup. It's kind of just had bad luck for a while, and I think it kind of breaks through here. So I really like Arrest Me Red to win this race at 6-1.
Ooh, all right. A little 6-1 action to kick things off.
Taking some notes over.
Arrest Me Red. I always like to try to do the math on the horse name. Arrest Me Red. Do we know the background of that horse name, Wolf?
I don't know. I hope that it's some, you know, Panama Red involved or something. Mm. Like someone got searched in college, you know, back in the 70s, busted with some Panama.
Oh, maybe it's Panama Red. Throwback to that 70s show. The dad was named Red. He was a real hard ass. What about you? What about you, Mal? Any leans or picks here for race 9?
Yeah, sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees, and this seemed like one of those occasions. There's a horse in this race called Cassette Creed, number 11.
Okay.
Which is a 5-1 shot. Now, it has won this race the last 2 years. It ran really well last time in Saudi Arabia. It was only beaten by one horse that kind of pinched the race from it on the rail. Visually looked very pleasing. Now, the old saying, you probably heard horses for courses, and there's a similar train of thought about horses at various times of the year. We had this conversation about a horse called Glass Slippers a couple of years ago in the Breeders' Cup, which during various times of the year can be quite indifferent. And then you would take it over a certain trip at a certain distance and you get it out the horse box on that day and it's a different animal. This is Casa Creed in this race on Saturday. Mm. It's just set up. I don't know why it won't win again. We often say this, that after the event, you're going to say, yeah, this is obvious. So yeah, it's a 5-1 shot because there's a... there's another horse in here called Caravelle, which is the favorite. And that's making the price for Casa Creed. I think it's an outstanding 5-1 shot. Like, you see, horses for courses. He's already proved it twice. He's in great form. There is zero reason why he can't do this again.
Now, Malcolm, people accuse me of always crowbarring the Eagles, but I think it actually, this reference works here. Is Casa Creed and the Widener turf course, is it much like Boston Scott when he plays the New York Giants? Maybe doesn't show up in other spots, but when he's playing the Giants, this is the team he gets his anytime touchdown at. And at plus 500, similar price to a Boston Scott touchdown. I'm all
in. I'm fully indoctrinated because that completely tracks to me. Like, I'm on board. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. 4 touchdowns for 7 yards and a 2-point conversion. There you 32 go. Fantasy points for Boston Scott. Easy.
The Boston Scott octopus.
I mean, I'm all in on Casa Creed just off that analogy alone. I see you.
What number is that horse?
11.
Okay.
Oh no, that's Carson Wentz's number. All right. I'm going to have to think about this a little bit more. 11's actually good now. It's AJ Brown. So we're
Carson clear. Wentz number, House of Creed. Mm.
What about I see you also have did you mention your exacta box here, Wolf?
Yeah, I'm going to use two other horses with the Arrest Me Red. The first one's going to be the 3 Air Force Red. That's 12-1 for Leonard Powell. It's got Johnny V up. This horse is going to send go early. Sometimes on stakes days, these tracks are really just kind of maintained in a way that really promotes early speed. So I like that shot at 12-1. And then I'm using it also with the 10, Big Invasion at 6-1 for Christophe Clement and Joel Rosario. That pair is dynamite whenever they team up together. And this is about the time that they really start heating up for the year heading into like the Saratoga meet. So Big Invasion definitely on my ticket for the exacta, which would be 3, 8, and 10 boxed together.
Air Force Red and Arrest Me Red. That's it's just interesting. They both have red in their name. All right, sweet little little exact box there, getting going in the nine. I like Casa Creed and Arrest Me Red. Maybe I'll do an exact box with just those two guys. Ryan, what are you? Any thoughts on this race? Any leans based on there?
So basically, what I've heard. I just want to make sure, as the courtroom stenographer. It's a tough word to say. Casa Creed 11, Malcolm Fancies.
Yes.
And then we have Chase, aka Wolf, on the 3-8-10 exacta box, and also really likes the Arrest Me Red 8 horse to win.
Yes.
I'm doing all of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm betting 100% of the portfolio that these guys are laying out today.
Oh, it is a fun sweat. And then if stuff hits and you didn't get on it, you'll be kicking yourself. Race 10. We have we're talking about 8 furlongs here. $1 million up for grabs. The Metropolitan Mile.
Quick question. How long is a Metropolitan Mile, guys? Is it different than a regular mile?
I'll go to Wolf on
quicker
this
than
one.
A New York minute. That's what it is.
All right, so it's just
everything
kind of
could change.
Oh, so it's just a sassy mile. Got it.
Yeah. All right, dirt race. What do we got here?
Dirt track sounds like something that's going to happen in Florida.
What do you like here, Wolf, for this race?
So, if you don't intend to cry on Belmont Stakes Saturday, don't watch the lead up to the Met Mile, because it's going to be very heavy on the favorite here. The one, Cody's Wish. Cody Dorman, a young man with a rare genetic disorder. Him and this horse have just this connection. It's very sweet. It's very good for horse racing at a time when there has not been anything good for horse racing as of late. Cody's Wish just looks like far and away the best horse. I think this is your most likely winner on the card. It's pretty chalky at a 7-5 on the morning line. I'm going to try to make money on it by keying it in a trifecta, but I'm also going to try to hit a daily double with this using those three horses in the previous race into this one.
So, and just a reminder for people who don't, haven't gone hardcore in horse racing, daily double, of course, is parlaying the two winners of separate races. So what you're suggesting is taking those three horses you like, doing three separate parlays with Cody's Wish here in the next race, right?
Yeah, my bad. That was super inside baseball. That is correct.
No. Sometimes I forget some of this stuff, and I realize, you know, there are definitely some casuals popping in here for these for the Triple Crown podcast. So just want to make sure people know all the crazy ways they can get down on horse races.
Unbelievable. That was a master class right there, what you guys just witnessed.
Oh, come on. Just talking shop here, talking horses.
I just had a thought too. If Edge Boost really wanted to move the needle, everyone that signs up would get a pair of those sweet Edge Boost shades.
Yes. I mean, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. I got the horse race.
This is not
on
a New York
I'm
air
channeling,
filter.
I'm channeling my Bob Baffert here. And I like Chase's attack here with the daily double. Mal, what do you think about this race? Race 10. I know Cody's Wish is the favorite here. Very sentimental story, but what's your handicap on this race?
Yeah, I loved handicapping these two races that we're doing before the Belmont. They were kind of my more European style race. Mm-hmm. This is a 1 mile, 1 mile race around a one turn. The older horse, there's less stuff that can go wrong here. Say it's around one turn. They're older horses, so there's less likelihood of something springing a surprise, something running a career best. When we deal with these classic races, we're dealing with three-year-olds. We've talked about them coming for the two-year-old year. They could run a career best, and you just wouldn't see it coming, a.k.a. Rich Strike, 80-1 last year. This, you're less likely to have a surprise here. And Cody's Wish, you just can't get away from it. And I know Chase is talking about the daily double and stuff. I mean, I'm recording the MLB show next. If I give out a +110 winner, everyone would be dancing in the streets. But because it's a horse, you don't feel like it's suitable. Like, you don't feel like that's acceptable. It's got to be 35-1 or we're not interested. Like, just bet this thing at 11-10. However, because I know you like the numbers thing, there's some really nice horses around. There's a horse called number 5, Charge It, is 7-1. Has won over this course and distance before by 23 lengths. That's fallen apart recently, but can absolutely bounce back. So I think that can chase Cody's Wish Home. And there's another horse called Ripple Rocks, number 7. So that would be my trifecta, 1, 5, and 7. But if you want to stay single and be selective, Cody's Wish looks like a good thing. 5 wins in a row, 4 grade 1 wins in a row. The speed in the race, which will help him close, really impressive last time, and has won 6 for 6 at this distance. Man, every box you put in front, Cody's Wish just ticks it. So yeah, put your money down and collect your winnings. Move
football
on.
Bet.
Football bet. You're going big there.
Okay, football bet.
Yeah, you guys talk me into
Sean's
Cody's
not going to be a pussy.
No, what are you not going to play Cody's Wish?
Did you hear that tout earlier? talking to all the TMZ horse racing fans out there.
Oh, come
winners
on.
Winners only.
So the other way that I want to try to make money out of this, other than using it as a single in the double, when you have a horse like this, like use it in first in as many things as you can. I'm going to use it in first in a trifecta. And then I've got 3 horses that pretty decent prices that I really like underneath. And the one's going to be the 3 Dr. Shivel. The other one's going to be the 4 Hoist the Gold at, I believe, 30-1 on the morning line. I like that horse to get a piece in the trifecta. And then the 6 Zandon. So I'll be using that 3, 4, and 6 for second and third place. And Cody's Wish on top.
Dr. Scheibel. Are you allowed to give a horse a doctor name? I feel like that. Come on, this horse isn't a doctor. What are we doing here?
NFL doesn't allow names that have doctor on the back.
Yeah, that was great.
It's only 3 or 4 years old. I mean, medical school is like 8. What are we doing?
Yeah, come on. Are we supposed to believe this horse is some sort of doctor?
What's the horse year conversion? I know dogs are 7. Oh, yeah.
Do they have a horse year conversion? I know like a dog year is like 8 human years or.
I'm Googling it. How long is
I feel like they're rapidly taking years off of my life.
3.5.
And I don't know what that conversion
3.5. All right. So it's still, I mean, this is.
Be careful when you're typing how long is a horse. Make sure you nail that first letter.
Don't put that C. Don't put that next C.
Year spelled with a Y.
What you've got to bear in mind is that the horse dog the dog human year conversion is just a human construct. It's not a real thing. So I wouldn't get too hung up on it. We invented that.
Yeah. We just tried to put an organism's whole perception of reality
is our life.
It looks like about 7 years. That's great. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, Malcolm, that made my day. Thank you.
Malcolm, that's, yeah. My dog's really deep, not 84. What are you doing, Malcolm?
Sorry.
All right, Belmont Stakes, the big race itself, race 12, 1.5 mile, $1.5 million up for grabs. I'll say this, if I was a horse racing guy, I'd say cash money. They should really have the cash there. Yeah. In the same way I was just listening to about how Sean Payton before the Saints won the Super Bowl, he rolled out their Super Bowl bonus. It was like $2 million in cash sitting there.
Do you remember that? That was a great story.
Have like $1.5 million in dollars and whatever the $1 million in oats equivalent for the horses and just see like, you guys want it? Let's race some horses. I love it.
That would be excellent.
Now, all right, let's start with Baffert. I know there has been some drama about National Treasure. It seemed like a scratch, but maybe back in. What's the latest on Baffert's horses? I thought he was going to have 3 and then 2. Clue us in here, Chase.
I mean, I hadn't heard a whole lot about it, honestly. I always knew the National Treasure was going to be running into it. I hadn't really either missed the drama or just wasn't paying attention. Ooh. I don't know.
No, maybe I probably completely fucked it up.
was it Forte? Are you thinking of Forte and the horse that scratched out of the Kentucky Derby? That was the favorite.
All right. He
spends his time talking to the TMZ fans. So sometimes he doesn't get the small details, right?
I read one headline about Bob Baffert saying Preakness winner, National Treasure, the morning to win the Belmont.
Oh, this is great.
Reading aloud is great. Podcast.
This is great. It's just important for us to look in the mirror sometimes.
All right. Well, let's talk about the horses we know that are racing that aren't scratched. Bury that. We'll edit that out in post.
100% will not edit it out.
Wolf.
This is my fault because you said like Bob Baffert drama, and the answer could have just said yes.
Yeah.
Cause there is, he's like TNT, loves drama. What do we, who are his horses in this race? That's probably a better question.
Right now he's got 5-1 on the morning line, National Treasure. Your Preakness winner. That's his entry for this. Yeah. I give the horse a pretty good shot here, quite honestly. I know a lot of people are going to be fading coming off of the Preakness. It's not my top pick, but I do think that the way that this race shapes up, Bob Baffert has a really good chance to win a Belmont here today or tomorrow.
What, Mal, what about you? I know I started off, as I always do, reading your great article there, scrolling through some Belmont picks. What's your take? Give us a little race history. What kind of horses have done well at this race?
Usually regally bred types and all from the top barns. It's kind of a bit of a monopoly, really. So you look at the trainer names down the list, Bob Baffert, Todd Pletcher, Chad Brown, and you never really, Brad Cox is another one, it never really strays far away from that. It's an interesting race. And I think this is more interesting than the Preakness, is that after the Kentucky Derby, everyone scatters. Really, we said only the winner came back for the Preakness, only Mage came back, because the other horses are either looking after themselves for later in the year, it's a big effort to run these races closer together, or they don't want to take on the winner again. They've lost to it once, why would they come back and take it on again? Some of the horses then come back for this race. So you've got, in this race, you've got 40. Now, if you remember, we were doing the Kentucky Derby show. I think 40 scratched live as we were recording it.
Yeah.
40 was the favourite for that race. And as we were talking, the news came through of the scratch in that one. So now 40 is back. It had a bruised foot, but was galloping a couple of days later. So 40 is back. And then you get a lot of challengers who will come back and reoppose. I don't think National Treasure... This is a harder race. This is a better race than the race National Treasure would. Everything went right for National Treasure that day. Got a really good ride. So I think it's difficult for him to repeat here today. It's hard to get away from 40, you know. He was a worthy favourite originally for the Kentucky Derby, had the form over Mage, the winner, and then comes back and really nothing's changed. So if you liked him for the Derby and he was the favourite, then I think you have to like him here. There are some other stuff though, and I know there's always called Archangelo that Chase likes, but I think 40 will win. 40 could win this really comfortably as well. You know, 40 could be a different class. It's then a case of what you want to put in with it, or do you want to play some win, play, show stuff?
What about bigger prices? What about Hit Show 14-1? I think you had him on your list there. I was reading your write up on him, did a little research myself. Brad Cox, trainer, his speed figure has increased in the last six races. Fifth place in the Kentucky Derby. Now, maybe not his race, a little congested. Could this be a breakout opportunity for Hit Show? Currently seeing him around 14-1.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. There was money around for him in the Kentucky Derby. He was quite well fancied. Which is a clue in itself. He then finished fifth, which on paper is a good result, but he didn't get a great ride, I don't think. He kind of chased the fast early pace and he didn't need to. And he was, there were other horses passing him in the straight as a result of that. So I think he did quite well to finish where he is. He needs to improve a little bit, but what we've just said about these three-year-old horses, they have improvement in them. So yeah, Hit Show for me is absolutely live. I've got Hit Show chasing home 40. They would be my first two home, number 640 and number 7 Hit Show.
Wolf, where are you at here with this race? What do you and any sort of handicap and style you use specifically here for the Belmont, type of horse you like to see and who you like for this race?
Well, and worth chiming in. Sure. I know Chase was spending some time with Colby. You got the horse bug in Colby because he was he was walking around the office showing us the highlight of a secretariat dominating. Yes. Look at this athletic achievement.
He pulled up a photo. He's like, this is a photo of the greatest athletic dominance He's like, look at this. Secretariat's here. The horses, he's like, the horses are down by Taco Spot, which is like a taco place a half a mile away from our office. So you really got him worked up on your Arkansas season preview, which is coming out soon. Yeah. But you got Colby all worked up, college football and horse racing. So what do you got here for
I'm
the
belt? I'm sorry to do that to you guys. This is going to be very much a pace setup that I think is similar to what we saw in the Preakness that actually really benefited National Treasure. Whenever you look at this race, there are three things for handicapping a Belmont Stakes. Of course, pace, always pace, pedigree, a mile and a half. There's a reason they call it the true test of a champion. It takes a lot out of a horse for them to run at these speeds for that long. And a lot of them will never do it again after this race. And then also, a lot of people think just because of the length of it that horses are, you know, closers just because of, you know, they're the best endurance or whatever. That's not true. You want a horse that's going to be on the lead or damn near the lead whenever they exit that second turn and hit the stretch. The stretch feels like it's about a week and a half long whenever you have a horse that's, you know, on the lead and you're praying for the wire to get there. Like it's pretty tough. So I don't think that this pace ends up very fast. I think I looked at basically like the first four horses that I thought were going to be in that block and picked who I thought was going to be the best. And it's the three, Arcangelo at 8-1 for Gina Antonucci with Javier Castellano up. This horse won the Peter Pan Stakes, a mile and an eighth at Belmont, last out on May 13th. The horse just keeps trending up. There's nothing wrong with a horse that's never done anything wrong. We're not betting on how they ran a couple weeks ago. We're betting on how we think they're going to run today. And I think this horse is going to take a big step forward. I was actually very surprised because whenever I looked at the speed figures on this race, Arcangelo is up there, but is nowhere near the fastest. If you look at Thoroughgraphs, which kind of is a holistic number that like looks at form and how much distance they traveled and everything, Arcangelo is the fastest horse in the race.
We're deep horse analytics.
I was going to say, this is great that he's now doing your bit where he's talking to the common person. Cause obviously we're deep into Thoroughgraphs.
Yeah. You don't need to explain Thoroughgraphs.
What do you think those glasses are for? That soften the light of the
blue. It's like those Apple glasses. Mine have that, but it just says Thoroughgraphs data in here, speed figures.
Quick update on the Apple virtual reality. Yes. Dick Olson will be entering as soon as possible. Already pre-ordered.
Oh no. So you're saying if you look at the just traditional speed figures, like some pedestrian horse cappers,
like a newspaper capper, like myself,
you're overlooking the advanced analytics stuff that, hey, this actually, the way the course is running, that really matches up with this, horse Arcangelo. And, did you mention the trainer? Who is, Arcangelo's trainer?
Gina Antonucci.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a great name.
I mean, this is Sean's Italian against this. This horse. Is Italian, Italian overload, right here. So 8-1. And do you think it'll close 8-1 or do you think it'll end up being higher odds, lower? How do you see it closing?
You're going to get some price float here, because for one, you have people who are going to always bet a ton of money towards Bob Baffert horses, especially one that just won the Preakness.
Yeah.
You have a 2-year-old champion who was the favorite in the Kentucky Derby that had to scratch in Forte. He's also owned by a New York guy, Mike Rapoli. His Racing Silks are Mets, blue and orange. Going to take a ton of local money. You're going to get a big price on Arcangelo.
12-1 right now in the futures market. 12-1.
Arcangelo is 12-1 in my country.
Really? As a future? All right. That's interesting. All
right, so the response I got was bet that right now. Done. Yeah. I'm in, guys. Thank you.
All right. So Arcangelo is your horse, but do you like, what else do you like tying to it? Any Exacta stuff, Tri-Box? What else do you got here, going on the race? You like Wolf?
In our super secret company meeting on Tuesday, CJ Sullivan actually brought this horse up, and I think he's got a legit live long shot. It's the one Tappet Shoes. The big key there, Tappet, horses from the Tappet line / AP Indy line. That's the pedigree line that you want. Those are the horses that win. It's ridiculous. If you look back through the pedigrees of these horses, you see those names, and, there's not a lot of speed. It's National Treasure. Tappet Shoes is drawn on the rail. He's only got one move, which is go straight and go fast. And if they're not going fast early, Tappet Shoes could maybe, we know he's got the blood for it, maybe wire this race really sneaky.
Ooh, all right.
What do you think the price will be on that one? I see 20-1 in the futures market.
I think you'll get like 50-1.
Oh, 33-1. I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wait. Malcolm. How about you? Tappet Shoes. It's a working man's price if I ever heard one.
Unfortunately, no. to be genuine with you,
does it have the smudge of doom?
Sorry,
does it have the smudge of doom?
The smudge of doom is nowhere near Tappet Shoes.
Okay, well that's good.
Fabulous.
I handicapped the horse above it, Red Route One. Red Route One, if you want me to go all American on you, which is 16-1, and a form line through Red Route One. Tappet Shoes car. I don't think Tappet Shoes can reverse the form with that horse. And Red Route One isn't good enough to compete with the other. So yeah, that got a line through it. Unfortunately, again, possible improvement though. So it's one of those things. With 40, I've got Hitcho. I love Arcangelo. I love Chase's pick there because of the upside. This is your upside horse. And you know, you've spoken to me enough times now, is that I like a potential improver. I use the term unexposed a lot. And Arcangelo is unexposed and can absolutely step up. The last time it ran, when it got to the wire, it wasn't stopping. It was still going. The step up in distance might bring up enough improvement in Arcangelo here. Don't know what Ryan's laughing at. He's laughing at something I said to
you. I'm laughing at the idea that you're with horses, you like them to be growers, not showers.
Yeah, there you go. I've got 40 Hitcho. I put Angel of Empire in there, but I might just call an audible and stick Arcangelo in there.
Oh, that makes me feel.
So they would be my three.
That makes me feel good because the picks that are sticking out to me, my official Belmont Stakes picks, winner Hitcho,
really?
and then I will be playing. Really? Well, you know, yes.
I heard a nice young Italian American lad.
Winner's going to be Hitcho. I also like Arcangelo and Tappet Shoes. So I think I'm going to do win, play, show on all three of those guys and a try box.
You want to pick any other horses?
No, just those three. Just those three for my try box. Win, play, show for each of them. Maybe could just pay a massive, massive payout. Kramer, what are you doing here for the 2023 Belmont Stakes?
Which horse is number one?
That's Tappet Shoes.
That would be a fun. Do we put that in the exotics? Ooh. Is that what we do? Six, 136 exacta box or try box. Let's go.
136.
136.
So you
Forte,
got
Arc. Obviously, your angle on Arcangelo is beautiful, and I'm gonna tell that for the win. I don't even know if you picked him to win. I am gonna pick that horse to win. So I'm going to say exact order, Sean, 3-1-6.
3-1-6. Yeah.
We'll put Forte in the three hole.
I will definitely be playing the old pick one, AKA a win bet on Arcangelo. And I built out what is like a price of a box exacta, but you get an extra horse if you structure it just a little bit. So I first went with the one Tappet Shoes and the three Arcangelo, my two overlays that I really like. And then I wheeled into second, Tappet Shoes, Arcangelo, National Treasure, and Forte.
Wow. Oh, man. See, this is the problem when we have these guys on, Ryan. I get too many bets. They make too many good cases, and I'm overloaded. I'm overstimulated.
Sean, for next year, we need a trifecta, AK or exacta flow chart style.
Oh yeah, that would be a nice little
easy to read for the just not for us, for the TMZ fans or the guy who's driving. It's hard to write this stuff.
Maybe the Thoroughgraph subscription. Yeah. You forgot to renew it.
Maybe you got a blue light out. Allergy, whatever it is.
Oh man. Well, thank you guys as always for coming on. Make sure you subscribe to the Notorious OTB with the Wolf of Oakland. And of course, make sure you check out the Premier League. Gambling Podcast with Mal and Baz over there, and the MLB Gambling Podcast as well. Malcolm, you said you had a 9-1 you were going to give out at the end. Was that in the horses, yeah, or was that a? I just want to make sure I get every bet in.
That's the tease for his show.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, you have to listen to the, I got to the good stuff to get the 9-1
All right, I like it.
Pay attention, bro.
Well, I didn't know if he was
also in that show. There's Barry tells a very funny story. Barry's a big fat lad, if you don't know, and he
Barry
went all the way down from the at work on Monday to the from the 7th floor to the ground floor canteen, and then all the lifts packed up, all the elevators, so he had to walk back up. And the story of him getting back from the ground floor to the 7th floor is really worth a listen. So if you've got no interest in football, go on and listen to Big Baz as he was walking towards the light and what he thought was his final journey up the stairs on Monday.
It's like summiting Everest. There were Sherpas, oxygen tanks.
Yeah.
Baz, if you, again, to Malcolm's point, very, very entertaining guy. If we ever do a fat guy food podcast, I think he may have to host it, because I enjoy hearing him talk about stuff.
And we have, I feel like we would need auditions to filter it down.
There are a lot of big guys who like our show.
Strangely, big guys like sports and food.
Yeah, they really go.
And it's one of those things where big guys, like, you eventually realize that you can make food better, and so you get really into it.
Yeah,
like smoking shit.
Oh, he's and Baz is the first guy from the United Kingdom that I know that's into barbecue. Meats. Yeah, he's into barbecue. Oh, he's into grilling.
He barbecues his cornflakes in the morning. So all he can ever hear is the woman next door just slamming her window shut because Barry's barbecuing stuff again at 10 to 10 in the morning. Like, the overriding noise in their street is the annoyed woman slamming her windows again.
See, yeah, like, I always thought in my head, I never thought of people across the pond getting into barbecue, but he's huge into it. So,
well, we brought it there, though, just to be clear.
Well,
barbecue came from the Caribbean through this country to back there.
Maybe
not the other way.
Maybe you should host.
It's like food
podcast,
jazz. Right?
Well, you didn't know that.
No, I
barbecue
did not
is
know.
A Caribbean word, I believe. I believe it. Barbacoa. We can get it.
You're talking about pulled pork or the history of the American blues.
I mean, I literally fall asleep to the most random shit on YouTube. So yeah, I've gotten into some smoked meat shit.
I do like how Ryan goes, "You didn't know barbecue was from the Caribbean?"
My reality,
I feel like you fell asleep watching Guy Fieri and then a Ken Burns documentary on jazz came on like immediately afterwards.
I go deep. What can I say? I go deep.
Cousin Mush also looking to audition for the for the fat guy food podcast.
His Twitter handle is, I believe it's still R, maybe it's changed, but it used to be RI Food Guy. So He's
Rhode Island foodie,
kind of a foodie. So
have some good Italian food.
He's right to the front of the list too, because nepotism and all.
That's how it works. All right,
thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Make sure you smash that subscribe button, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. We'll be back live Sunday night, 8:30 Pacific, doing our NBA Game 5, right, Ryan?
Oh yeah.
Right around right around the corner, talking hoops. And again, Premier League Gambling Podcast, MLB Gambling Podcast, and the notorious OTB Podcast. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, second of the Money Green, and he's Ryan.
I hope the horses are able to get through the air quality up there in New York.
Kramer, let it ride.